welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note to indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. We talk about Indiana Weekend as a show about interesting people and places. Today, an interesting person. I can almost guarantee you haven't met anybody like Darren Campbell. He lives in Marion, a city like many in our part of the world that have struggled to attract and retain younger, talented workers. Marion has the advantage of having Indiana Wesleyan University right in town. And though many students want to leave after graduation, some are ready to stay. One Indiana Wesleyan graduate who stayed is Darren, a born entrepreneur who made money in college by installing his own full-size video game in his dorm and starting a pizza delivery service on campus. He now runs Tree of Life Bookstores, which includes a large national college textbook business, a religious bookstore, and a coffee shop. The business he opened in 1997 with his wife Nancy now has 150 employees, sales of around $35 million.
My wife and I actually started Tree of Life in 1997, right out of college. I graduated in 95 from Indiana Wesleyan with a business and marketing degree. We went to her parents and we said, you know, we'd like to open a bookstore with a coffee shop. And her parents said, you know what, we've been praying about something like that too. They were farmers in the community. And we borrowed $35,000 and opened a little 1,200 square foot shop, called it Tree of Life. It was a bookstore and coffee shop. And then some students from Taylor and Iwu started to frequent the shop. And some of those students, one of them in particular, bought a book that he needed for class. And his dad was the CFO at Indiana Wesleyan. And he went to his dad and he said, the college bookstore is selling this book for $39.99, and I bought it from Darren and Nancy for $14.99. And of course, the bookstore was outsourced to a third-party company, and their contract was up. And so the college invited us to bid on our local alma mater's bookstore, and we decided that we would discount textbooks, what students were forced to buy, and then we would increase the soft goods and add a coffee shop, things that students would volunteer to buy, and we'd make our margins up there. We didn't realize that Amazon, in around this time, was going to disrupt the whole book industry by discounting. So our model started with this idea of discounting. And so we were able to eventually partner with Amazon and sell books online. But we started from day one discounting books and trying to provide a better customer relationship.
Successful entrepreneurs have to have a passion for what they do. Darren Campbell, in particular, sounds like he's on a mission.
Yeah, you know, I kind of see the business as a ministry, honestly. I have a faith background, and I view my employees as friends and, you know, treat people the way you'd want to be treated. Really, what's good for business is really good for ministry and vice versa. So treating the customer the way you'd want to be treated, treating your employees. One of our mottos here is customers for life, employees for life. And we really value that. We bought this facility in 2012, renovated it in 2013, went to create a kind of a corporate campus that was fun. Many of our employees are in their 20s, and so this is the first job they've had outside of college. And so we want work to be fun. We value relationships. Since we, our primary market, our college students, having a younger employee set helps us to stay relevant. You know what the trends are and what's happening. We're really tech-driven, and so it's important to have a lot of younger people that understand what the trends are in technology.
So many Indiana communities, many communities everywhere, would love to see a homegrown business. It's not always easy to attract people to these kinds of places. Is part of your strategy, is part of your operating philosophy, how to get and keep employees here?
Yeah. Really, the narrative, to your point, John, is that students, they want to do something significant. And so they feel like something significant is in the mountains or on the West Coast. And really, I think about Detroit and the resurgence of what's happened in Detroit. And I think cities like Marion, Indiana, Muncie, Indiana, Kokomo, We're just smaller versions of Detroit, primarily a manufacturing base. The trends have changed, not as many jobs as there was. The economies have not been as strong as they were in the past, but lots of opportunity, really inexpensive real estate, a highly educated workforce from our local colleges and universities. It's a good ambition to come to a local city, a smaller city like Marion, buy a home, fix it up, get connected to a local church, local family, serve at a local place, and really make your life here. I think we're competing with other narratives from other cities, but we have a really important story here in the Midwest. Plus the Midwest, it's the crossroads of America. For my business, it's a great logistical place to do business. And I mean, retailers, it's a global economy. We need to be from somewhere. This is a really great place to buy old factories and old buildings that are really well maintained. They were well built back in the 50s and 60s. They just need a facelift. And again, we're shipping logistically here less expensive than we would anywhere else in the country. So this is a really good place where I can compete with my larger competitors on price because of the highly educated workforce I have and the low cost of doing business. And frankly, the friendly government that we work with.
The city government, the state government?
Absolutely, city and state. I would not have been able to do this project in 2012, 2013 without local government involvement. I fully funded the project ourselves. You know, we took all the risk, but the government helped us to find the building. They provided us with a TIF, so a mechanism for us to fund the project. Although we funded it with private funds, government involvement. I really wouldn't have even had the vision without the local economic growth council and the city government, to walk me through what the possibilities could be.
They bought a 110,000 square foot building, a former Kmart, that was in one of the best locations in town on the Marion Bypass.
It was an old building. It had been in disrepair. We invested about $4 million to bring it up to repair. We have several tenants, Dunham's, Hallmark. We have a local restaurant, a coffee shop, a bookstore, and then a mail center. Here, we're fully 100% occupied, have been since we opened. And we provide a fair rent to our tenants. We're local landlords, so we're not some conglomerate from a large city on the East or West Coast. We're just local people. We want our local community to do better. And we thought, what if we invested in our local community as opposed to your point, move into a larger city? I think it's a good ambition to try and to do what we're trying to do, compete on a national scale, but do it from a smaller city.
Darren Campbell, who started Tree of Life Bookstores, a national college textbook business in Marion, Indiana. It's located in a renovated former derelict Kmart building that he renovated, a decision that was a big gamble that he'll tell us about coming up.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Talking today with entrepreneur Darren Campbell of Marion, who started a small bookstore and coffee shop 20 years ago after graduating from Indiana Wesleyan University. That business has turned into a major college textbook seller known as Tree of Life Bookstores. Tree of Life is a different kind of place to work. To attract and keep his workforce of tech-savvy booksellers in Marion, a city with some pretty substantial economic challenges, Campbell offers a variety of amenities.
One thing we do, we partner with the local Economic Growth Council, where we provide a grant for grads, where a college grad that chooses to live in Grant County receives a $5,000, up to $5,000 grant from the community, and we match it with a $5,000 grant. So whether they're buying or renovating their first home, they can hopefully get their down payment or most of their down payment so that they can fund that. That helps students once they graduate to decide to live and move here. I believe once they move in and buy a home, get married, settle down, they'll probably be here for a long time. So it's really advantageous for us to offer that. I mean, we have some fun amenities here at work. We do a lot of events. We go bowling as a company. We go to hockey games and baseball games and go out for dinner with wives and families. We always rent out the movie theater every year for the Star Wars, whatever new Star Wars movie's coming out. So we rent out the whole theater for our friends and family. We have an arcade here on site. We have a saltwater fish tank. We have a coffee shop for employees, free soft drinks, free waters. A lot of folks bring their families in. It's very common for a new employee to bring their parents or grandparents in to get a tour. In my office, I have a secret passageway that leads to an arcade because I'm kind of an 80s vintage kid. So I remember back when you actually played video games in malls with quarters. So we have that here, and it's kind of fun. There's a basketball goal for our warehouse employees, and they do pick up basketball games every afternoon. And it's a community. We have fun. We throw Christmas parties and birthday parties, and we have a kitchen so that employees can do carry-in dinners and meals. And we just want to, again, I don't think I'm Google or Apple or anything like that, but some of those amenities that they have in these larger companies in the West Coast, we can easily do those things in the Midwest and make Tree Life a fun place to work.
Has it worked? I mean, the goal of it is to make it a fun place to work because you want to retain employees and you want happy, productive employees.
We actually had an interview today with a former employee that asked for their old job back. They had left. We were probably the first place they worked out of college. They'd worked for us for a couple of years. We're given another opportunity elsewhere. They worked there for a few months, realized that the culture that we had created here was different than what they were finding at their new job, and they asked if they could come back for their old job. And we hired them back today. So our retention numbers are pretty high. We are in retail, and so there's a lot of turnover in retail. We actually have many employees. We have 10, 15, 20-year employees, and we keep in mind, we've been in business for 20 years. So some of the folks that were with us from day one are still here.
Are you growing? Are you continuing to grow? And is it hard to attract talent?
We doubled in revenue in 2 years. The last 2 years, our revenue has doubled. We grow. We actually have more opportunities to grow than what we care to do. We're self-financed. We own the company ourselves. So we grow moderately so that we can maintain the quality of our product. We'll probably add 2 or 3 accounts this summer or this year. And that's a pretty good growth for us. Honestly, there's probably 20 accounts we could add. So it's a good problem. Our market, we feel like our product is innovative and people want that personal touch and high innovation. And so we feel like it's a good mix. Again, being from the Midwest is also really good. People love working with businesses from the Midwest, tend to be trustworthy and honest. There's a great reputation for Midwest companies. So shout out for those of us in the Midwest. Talent, it is difficult to get IT talent. I mean, there are computer programmers. I would hire 4 or 5 programmers today if I could convince them to live in the Midwest. It's just so tempting to move out to the coast. So that's an area of need for us. Many of our executive team commute. Some of them live locally, and we're proud of that. Others commute from the Fort Wayne or Indy area. So we're actually pulling talent from there. We have considered opening satellite offices in other cities to help with some of that talent. But really, the primary ambition is try to see how we can attract talent to come to a small city, invest in the local city, and try and make the city better.
Tell me a little bit about that, because you have a vision that goes beyond these numbers and revenue and results. But along that line, you were just headed.
Well, in 97, we opened a little mom and pop, you know, bookstore with a coffee shop. We never dreamed that it would be, you know, 150 employees with multi-million dollars in sales and around the country. We just didn't dream of that. It really, for me, a man of faith, it was a God thing. But one thing that we do to give back, we have the local farmers market meets on our property every Saturday. There are 78 vendors that come in. I read a statistic the other day that 9 of those vendors have opened brick and mortar stores as a result of the farmers market. And so that's one way that we try and give back. We want to encourage entrepreneurship. We want our location to be a center for entrepreneurship. We have a local coffee shop called The Abbey. Many folks, it's kind of their co-workspace. Many businesses are started at the Abbey and then spun off. I know of one technology company that's actually operating in Indianapolis that started at our coffee shop 4 years ago. And so it's kind of an incubator, if you will. Sometimes I get asked to meet or mentor, and I try and give back that way. I don't think that I'm an entrepreneur guru or anything, but sometimes it's just fun to sharpen each other and listen to ideas and give feedback.
He supports the idea of the Refinery Business Center, Marion's co-working space that was modeled after Launch Fishers and other support centers for entrepreneurs and startups.
The Refinery, I mean, every community needs an incubator or a place like the Refinery where people can go and have minimal startup costs, barrier to entries lowered, and just be around like-minded people that will encourage them. It's frightening starting your own business, and of course you don't know what you don't know. So being around other people that have been there that can give you advice, sometimes a kind word or a 20-minute conversation can save you thousands of dollars in missteps. And so I really encourage people to check out places like the Refinery. And if you don't have a Refinery in your town, go to your local coffee shop. A lot of business people are hanging out there, and you'd be surprised who's sitting next to you that might have an answer to the problem that you're facing.
Darren Campbell, founder of Tree of Life Bookstores, a national college textbook company based in Marion. It's a different kind of place to work, which you figure out when you see the free soft drinks and water for staffers, the secret passageway that leads to the video gaming arcade for the staff to relax. Not your usual corporate headquarters.
Well, I keep my nose on the grindstone, work hard every day. Might get a little tired on the weekend. After I draw my paper, I go back working. Come Monday morning, right back with the crew.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
It's been 20 years. There was hardly even an internet 20 years ago. It was very nascent. Is the environment better now for entrepreneurs or startups in your view?
Well, sure. I mean, the internet has changed the world. I mean, if I was in college today, you can start a business in your dorm room. The internet gives you entree into the entire world. It's an unbelievable time to be an entrepreneur. When I was in college, I grew up in Canada. And so when I first moved here, I wasn't allowed to work off campus. And so what I would do every night, I would order pizza from my local Pizza Hut. 662-1200 was the number. I still remember it. I would order pizza and then I would go around the dorm and sell the pizza $1 a slice. The first pizza was $8. The next pizza was on special for $4. So after two pizzas, I made $4, which paid for my laundry for that week. Three pizzas, I made an extra $4, and so on, so on. 100 guys in the dorm room. By the third week of class, I had people coming to my dorm room every night giving me their pizza money. All I had to do was make the phone call. That kept me in pizza every night, and that kept me in laundry money every week. And so, again, it's just find a need, fill it. Now, add the internet to that. Think about China. Think about India. Think about the whole world. And again, this is a very inexpensive place to do business. I mean, everybody can start a business. It's really the democracy and capitalism. It's an incredible time.
Did you have any other, were there other signs you were precocious, future business person, a paper route?
Sure. This is probably how I got into business looking back. When I first came to visit Indiana Wesleyan, I grew up in a very small town on the East Coast. I flew down to visit the college, and while I was here, we went to Indianapolis and actually went to the Castleton Square Mall. There was an arcade in the Castleton Square Mall, and I found a video game that I'd loved growing up, and I bought it. I then had it delivered to the admissions counselor's office, and when I moved into school in the fall, they delivered it into my dorm room. So I don't know if you remember Ricky Schroeder and Silver Spoons. He actually had an arcade game. When I moved in my freshman year, I had this video game in my dorm room. My thinking was I'd let students come in and play it, and I would keep the money, and it would be another way that I could earn some revenue. Well, the college said, you can have an arcade game in your dorm room. And so I said, well, why not? It's not in their handbook. There's no rules. It says this is not allowed. I paid my $20 electric bill. I should be able to have it. So I'm in the dining room. This is a true story. I'm in the dining room. The president of the university comes to my table. And I thought, I'm going to get kicked out of school on the first day. Here's the president, Jim Barnes. And he said, are you the gentleman that has the arcade game? And I said, yes, I don't see what the problem is. There's nothing in the rules that say I can't have it. And he said, well, we have a contract with a vendor for the student center. It's an exclusive contract where we share the revenue. And I said, oh, well, I'll share the revenue with you. How about 50-50? Dr. Barnes said, deal. He shook out his hand. And that year, I made about $500 a semester on my arcade game, and the college dorm got $500. We paid for all of our socials and movie nights with my arcade game, moved it into the laundry area of the dorm, and that's how I met Dr. Barnes. Now, fast forward 5 years later, Dr. Barnes gives me my first opportunity to run his college bookstore. Without that arcade game, I might not meet Dr. Barnes. I might not have that opportunity. He saw in a rough, around-the-edges kid some potential. He invested in me, gave me my first shot, and today I have college bookstores with 30 different institutions around the country.
What did your parents do?
My dad, my mom and dad had a ninth grade education, very blue collar. My mom was a day laborer in a nursing home. My dad sold cars for a living. I came home from a youth event from our church, and I said, I'm going to go to college in Indiana. My dad said, where is Indiana? I grew up in Woodstock, New Brunswick, Canada. We got out an atlas, and we found Indiana, and I was convinced that I was supposed to come to Marion, Indiana to study business at this local college. And my dad, it was a recession back in 1990, 91. There was a recession going on. My dad's car sales were not what they had been in years past. He actually was mowing the lawn, and he was praying, saying, if this kid is supposed to go to college, you're going to have to give me a sign, Lord. And the neighbor came across the road and said, I'd like to buy that lawnmower. And my dad said, let me finish mowing the lawn. The $500 he got for the lawnmower was the gas money to take me to college. And that was his answer to prayer. So on a risk, he came down, and the rest is history.
Why Indiana Wesleyan? How did you hear about it?
I met a man named Chuck Mealy. He was the local admissions counselor. I met him at a conference, and he said, Darren, you could go to college. And I was a straight C student, but I believed him. My parents didn't really encourage me to go to college. They thought I would probably enter into the family car business. But I was convinced that I was supposed to go to college. I visited the school. I loved this little school in Marion, Indiana. I bugged my parents. I went to my guidance counselor. All of them said, you really have no chance. But Chuck Mealy, he believed in me. And, you know, it was just a nudge of an adult, an authority figure that said, you could do this. And I believed him, and I came. And the people at Indiana Wesleyan, whether it was the university president on that first day or my dorm leadership or the professors, several people invested in me, and I just believed them. I believed that I could become who they said I was, and just those nudges. And I hope to nudge people in that way too. I want to be that kind of person.
Has that kind of faith and optimism, has that informed your business career here with Tree of Life?
I just choose to believe that the game's rigged in my favor. I do. And, you know, that may or may not be true, but it's that positive outlook. You see a burned out building, an old decaying building. I see an opportunity, a really inexpensive building that we can renovate and turn around. And I think that the narrative has been that we have not been as successful as we used to be. And so there's a tendency to want to give up. But yet here's a new generation, a younger generation of leaders and entrepreneurs. They're hopeful. What could happen? You know, what if we risked? What if we dreamed? And why not in a small town in the Midwest as opposed to, you know, someplace out in the West Coast? I think about Marion, Indiana and Muncie and some of these towns. This was the Silicon Valley in the 50s and 60s. It was Fisher Body, Muncie Transmission, RCA. I mean, we think about Apple and Google and all these companies, but it wasn't that many decades ago that this was the innovation network all the way up to Detroit. And I think, what would it look like if we started making things here again? What would it look like if we started investing here again? I mean, the real estate is cheap, and the people are capable. I think a lot of it just is mental, you know, not giving up, saying, why not here? Why not us? Why not now?
He's taken some risks along the way. Buying the former Kmart store, which was in bad shape, was a gamble.
Some people told me it was a fool's errand. In fact, when we initially went to buy the building, I had several phone calls from business leaders telling me that I was crazy. And honestly, I probably was crazy, but I just saw the potential of what this building could be and what story we could tell. I brought my employees into the building, and you know, there was water leaking, and there was mold, and the horror on the looks of some of the people's faces, like, what are you going to do? But you know, it's kind of a metaphor for what we're trying to do, and really a metaphor for what I believe God's done in my life, where He's taken something that was old and decaying and turning it into something new. And what an incredible story. If we could pull it off in a local city, then you could do it anywhere. And we do believe, with the help we had from the city, our local employees and our local bank, that was an incredible help to us. Everyone bought in on the vision. We were able to turn it around. We're 100% occupied. And actually, it's been a really good move for us. But it was a risk. It's about taking risks. But I mean, I was a Canadian kid that came to America because this was the land of entrepreneurship, capitalism, and risk-taking. So I just kind of bought into the American dream. Became a citizen in 2008, voted in the last couple of elections, and I'm just really excited about the business landscape and the opportunities that are still here for us in the Midwest. We shouldn't give up on the local economy and the local opportunity. We can do really well, and we can sell all over the world right here from the Midwest.
Lord, I recall my little town, coming home after school, flying my bike past the gates of the factories. My mom doing the laundry.
Darren Campbell, who grew up in Canada, heard about Indiana Wesleyan University, and came here for school. A born entrepreneur who sold pizza by the slice to kids in his dorm, even brought his own full-size arcade video game to his dorm room to make money. And after graduation, started a bookstore and coffee shop with his wife, Nancy. Now, 20 years later, that business is called Tree of Life Bookstores. 150 employees, annual sales around $35 million. It's a business built on his faith, in more ways than one, and a willingness to take a few chances. Darren Campbell of Marion. And that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, Debbie Webb, Alicia Franklin, and Elena McKenzie. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.